is the time to stop and remind you that if you're listening and you like us and you support the station in general, why don't you become a sustaining listener supporter? It's not hard. You go to the website, wgxc.org or .org, and there's a slash, and then it says donate. And you go there, and what you find is the way to become a...
Yeah. Hip, hip, bomb, idiot.
Oh, I hit it.
Maria, oh, 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 Maria, oh, oh, yeah. Maria, oh, 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 Maria, oh, oh, Maria, oh, oh, Maria, oh, oh, yeah. Maria, oh, 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 Maria, oh, oh, yep, yep, yep. Maria, oh, oh, Maria, oh, oh.
Hi, I'm Laura from Hudson at the Hudson Farmers Market. You're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM Hands-On Radio.
Do you enjoy the arts? Have an interest in art classes and meeting your local creative community? Then join us at the Athens Cultural Center on the first Friday of each month from 5 to 7 p.m. View our latest exhibition over free nibbles and drinks hosted by our ACC board members, and get to know us. We are at 24 2nd Street in Athens and online at athensculturalcenter.org. We look forward to meeting you.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, where membership provides access to world-class cinema, first-run feature films, art house films, live music, and more. Plus, advance notice of close-up conversations with directors and actors and other special events at the Star Theater in Rhinebeck, the Orpheum in Socrates, and traveling around the Hudson Valley. Information at upstatefilms.org/support. That's upstatefilms.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Teo Campo Real of Athens, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Hang tough, folks, for a second. This is the Capital District Democratic Socialist Good Time Hour, and we're having a couple of technical difficulties getting this stuff to play.
Now, any trouble while Mommy and Daddy are gone, and don't make a mess.
Do you like parties?
Yeah.
We can invite all our friends and have soda and pie.
Yeah.
I hope no bad people show up.
Kick it! We'll be right back.
evening. You're listening to your two technologically inept friends at the Capital District Democratic Socialist Good Time Hour on WGXC 90.7 on your FM dial. I'm your host, Casey, with my co-host, Bill, who prefers to be called by his farty, presumptuous alias of Poche Noir.
Comment ça va, comrades? C'est Poche Noir. It's 7 p.m. on the first Tuesday of the month, so this is November 7th of 2023, or in the French Republican calendar, this is the 17th day of Brumaire, a very important month for Marxists, in the year 232. And that intro was the Beastie Boys' 1986 hit, Fight for Your Right to Party. I like that song not only for the song itself, but for the video, which I remember from those early days of MTV, which ends with a pie fight. Today is also Election Day.
Which ought to be a national holiday, but isn't, just to keep it difficult for working folks to get to the polls. On that topic, we have as our guest tonight Natalia Laktakia to talk about strategy, consequences, and her experiences of being elected as a socialist in office. What's a more exciting narrative than that?
Again, here is our standard disclaimer. The remarks made tonight reflect the opinions of whomever may be speaking them and not WGXC. Also, these remarks need not reflect the opinions of anyone else in the Democratic Socialists of America. Casey, Natalia, and myself are just members of the DSA, and because we live in the Capital District, we're members of the Capital District chapter of the Democratic Socialists of America.
Yeah, when DSA members meet, there are always differences as well as areas of agreement. There's no set political line to be towed by members of the DSA, though why would one join unless one considers oneself a socialist and devoted to democracy?
To be a DSA member, you don't have to be a strict Marxist like me.
Savoir faire is everywhere.
Oh no, our shtick.
As you know, Casey, DSA is everywhere, just like savoir faire.
Savoir faire is everywhere.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
We're not only present in legislatures, but we're down in the picket lines, the union halls, and we're at demonstrations. Tonight, we have a real scoop. Earlier today, I received a recording through Deadrop made secretly by a DSA member, and I'd like to play that for our listeners.
Are you sure that's safe?
Well, I've used my recent education in WGXC's provided Audacity audio editing program to take away any information that might disclose the recorder's identity. It's of an early bargaining session between the United Auto Workers President Sean Fain and a representative of Ford, General Motors, and Stellantis. To recapitulate a bit, the UAW was on strike against those three companies since September 15th, but it seems that the union won.
Not only did the union win big wage increases for all members, but the contracts eliminate the second and third class status endured by thousands of TEMSA and second tier workers. Now the completely screwed over workers will enjoy even bigger pay increases, in some cases upwards of 150%. And the union clawed back the annual cost of living adjustment that had been eliminated during the 08 financial crisis. That itself will probably add a 7 or 8% boost to the wage workers earn over the life of their contract.
And those auto workers were never compensated for the sacrifices they made after the 2008 financial crisis when they agreed to host all these cuts to save the industry. Meanwhile, Ford, GM, and Stellantis got huge government bailouts and soon returned to record profits. Mm-hmm. But after 6 weeks, the union won. There are tentative agreements with all three auto businesses, so let the payback begin. And let's play this recording. I think it illustrates how far apart the union and the bosses were at the beginning and why that strike took all of 6 weeks.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and I won't have it. Is that clear?
Now, the reason we're in this situation right now is because all three of the big three companies chose to wait. They chose not to negotiate for the 8 weeks we had. We started this back in July, and we told them then, don't wait till the last minute or you're going to find yourself in a bad position. And unfortunately, they chose to wait till the last week to get down and start talking, to get serious about this, and that's where we are now. And if we don't get better offers and we don't get down to take care of the members' needs, then we're going to amp this thing up even more.
It is ebb and flow, tidal gravity. It is ecological balance.
This is what's wrong with our economy, and this is what's wrong with America right now. The billionaire class keeps taking more and more, and the working class keeps getting left behind.
You are an old man who thinks in terms of nations and peoples. There are no nations. There are no peoples. There are no Russians. There are no Arabs. There are no third worlds. There is no West. There is only one holistic system of systems. One vast and immane, interwoven, interacting, multivariate, multinational dominion of dollars. Petrodollars, electrodollars, multidollars, Reichmarks, rims, rubles, pounds, and shekels. It is the international system of currency which determines the totality of life on this planet. That is the natural order of things today. That is the atomic and subatomic and galactic structure of things today. And you have meddled with the primal forces of nature. And you will atone.
We're prepared to do whatever we have to do. So the membership is ready. The membership is fed up. We're fed up with falling behind. It's been decades of falling behind, and especially this past decade, in the most wealthiest times in the history of these companies. There is no excuse. These companies have made $250 billion in the last 10 years, $21 billion in the last 6 months alone. And our workers' wages and conditions have went backwards.
You get up and howl about America and democracy. There is no America. There is no democracy. There is only IBM and DuPont, Dow, Union Carbide, and Exxon. Those are the nations of the world today. We no longer live in a world of nations and ideologies. The world is a college of corporations, inexorably determined by the immutable bylaws of business. The world is a business. One vast and ecumenical holding company for whom all men will work to serve a common profit, in which all men will hold a share of stock. All necessities provided, all anxieties tranquilized, all boredom amused.
This fight is all about one thing. It's about workers winning their fair share. Good morning. Thank you.
Well, that recording ends abruptly, but you can really hear from that the workers and bosses were speaking quite across purposes. Now let's hear from Natalia.
As we mentioned, Natalia Lactakia, who's a member of the Capital District DSA, has been twice elected to the Saratoga Springs School Board. We're going to jump to our interview, which was pre-recorded on November 3rd.
All right. So, Comrade Natalia, I want to welcome you on the show and thank you for being here. Before we get into any of the details of talking to you about being an elected socialist, let's make our audience get familiar with you. How long have you been a member of the Democratic Socialists of America?
I joined in late 2018, so just over 5 years now.
Okay. And when did you become a member?
In 2018, I started to realize that there weren't a lot of elected officials that were saying things that resonated with me or were leading in the way that I wanted to see the country led in. And I became aware of AOC, and a lot of what she had to say really struck a chord with me. I felt really hopeful listening to her talk, and I mentioned her one day to my husband, who had just watched a documentary on her, and said, you know, she's a member of this organization. We should see if there are any members of that organization here where we live in Saratoga Springs. And I typed it into Facebook, and there was a meeting like 3 days later at the library. And when I clicked on the event, I saw that a couple of my neighbors were attending. And we were fairly new to the neighborhood. And when we moved in, we had a baby. So I did know my neighbors, but not super well. And I felt really excited seeing that people who lived, you know, just a couple doors down from me were going to this meeting. And so I went. I felt inspired when I heard what was being discussed and what people felt we could be doing here in our community. And so I joined, and my husband did too.
Okay. That's kind of similar to me too, because I joined after Bernie. I said, oh yeah. My God.
That's another thing. We were already Bernie supporters. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, already in line with how we were viewing things.
So you currently hold an elected position. What is that position?
I was elected to the Saratoga Springs City School District Board of Education in 2019, and then I was re-elected in 2022. Mm-hmm. And I'm also currently the vice president of the board. So I was elected by my fellow board members last year for the last school year, and then re-elected this year.
As vice president?
As vice president, yep.
Okay. So you stood for election twice. In your election, did you run openly as a socialist?
Yep. Both times I ran as a member of DSA. I talked about my views. When you're running for school board, it's not in New York State, it's not a partisan race. So you're talking about your ideas and your worldview a lot more than you are talking about specific organizations, you know, besides, for example, the teachers union, which endorsed me both times, or the CSCA, which endorsed me. But, you know, you're really just talking about your ideas. And so while I was very open about being a Democratic socialist, and, you know, it's on the district website, et cetera. Mostly I was talking about my ideas at the door when I was, you know, talking to people while canvassing or while creating my posts, et cetera. And people were really, really receptive. I think that, you know, socialist or socialism, people have their own assumptions about what that means. But I think that my worldview is actually very, very popular in my community, even if the same people who support me and support those ideas might not realize that they're in line with socialism.
That's awesome. What inspired you to take the jump to like actually run for office in Saratoga?
So two things. The first is that I always had planned to run for the Board of Education one day. I had a really impactful experience when I was a teenager. I grew up in a college town in Pennsylvania, and my high school was two different buildings with a road going in between them. And we had to cross between the buildings depending on where we were going. So for the most part, 9th and 10th grade, I know it's not like that now. Actually, they have a brand new building. And it's very different now. But for a long time, if you were in 9th and 10th grade, your core classes were in one building. And if you were in 11th and 12th, your core classes were in the other building, but like language was only in one building. So even if I was in the other building, I was having to cross over to go to Spanish class. Music was only in one building. So I was crossing to take, you know, my voice class. And so it was really dangerous. People were not being safe while driving. And it was a lot of high school kids trying to get from one building to another building in the 3 minutes that we had between classes. So we were leaving a building, crossing a parking lot, crossing a road, crossing a parking lot, getting back into another building and trying to get to class on time. And I'm a big rule follower. So being late was really a stressful concept for me. And so I had this connection, which is my dad is a professor actually at the university. And one of his colleagues was married to a school board member. And so I asked if I could meet with her. Her name's Donna Queenie. And she came to my house and she talked to me about this. And I explained how dangerous it was and how concerned I felt, how I thought that we needed better signage. And possibly even like a 3-minute pause that could be well marked, but it wasn't safe for us. And we're high school students trying to access our education. And she was like, we're on this. Will you come present to the school board? Like, let's do this. And so I got to go present to my school board and they made change. They went to the city, to the borough, and they got new signs, and I saw a clear difference. And I was really struck by the fact that I saw a problem. I asked for help coming up with a solution. I presented that solution and it happened. And I was like, I want to do this. I want to make change. I don't want to, just be the person who identifies problems. I also want to be the person who puts solutions into place. So I have spent a lot of my life thinking about how I want to one day be that person. When I moved to Saratoga Springs, shortly after, actually right around the time that I joined DSA, the Saratoga Springs School District Board of Education voted to no longer allow grounds monitors to be armed on school property. So I'm not talking about SROs. I'm not talking about active duty police officers. I'm talking about the grounds monitors, many of whom were retired law enforcement or retired military. But they
I'm unfamiliar with what that is. What's a grounds monitor? Is that like a...
So grounds monitors, it's not a common... kind of the person who's providing security for the grounds of the school. So thinking about a high school student who is leaving to go to a doctor's appointment, they're the person that you're handing the note to. Or let's say that high school students are leaving to go sit in their cars to, smoke weed. They were armed.
That is wild.
They had been armed for a very long time. It was not anything that was in writing, but it was something that had been happening for a long time. For me, as just a resident of the community, I went to a school board meeting to be like, what on earth? Also, as a longtime educator, I do work in public schools. I'm a speech therapist. So I do know a lot about what happens in schools. And so I went to a school board meeting to be like, what's the chain of command? Who's giving the order to use these weapons? Who's providing the insurance for these weapons? Who's providing, the guidance for when and where to use them, or, anything like that? And also, what is the training being provided to these grounds monitors when it comes to special education or, anything? And why is it that grounds monitors, who in their job description have an explicit role in student discipline, would ever have a weapon? Well, the school board here did vote to not allow them to carry those weapons anymore. And it created this huge backlash in the community. So a lot of people who were like, oh, thank goodness, that was a very obvious choice. And then a lot of people who were like, oh my gosh, like, we live in this time when school shootings feel like they are happening everywhere at all times. And in some ways they are in our country. And I want my child to be safe. And this is a level of security that's now been taken away. And those people formed a group and said they were going to run people for the school board. And I, with my DSA friends and colleagues, said, I know a lot about the schools and I want to be on the school board. Should I run? And one of my friends said, yeah, let's do it. We know how to run an election. Let's make it happen. And so we did.
And that's exactly what I was going to angle towards. On your elections, did you get DSA endorsement? And what kind of DSA help you got? How did they help you? And did you get an endorsement?
So for neither of my elections did I seek DSA endorsement. And not because I didn't want it, but rather because I do think it's a complex issue to really communicate with people that DSA is not a political party. I mean, even some of my closest friends will be like, well, you're registered with DSA. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm WFP registered for my party affiliation and previously was a Democrat, but DSA is just an organization that I'm a member of. So with both of those, I just thought that it was adding a partisan element that I didn't, need. And I didn't want to spend my time explaining that, because a school board election is really, really, really quick. It really is just over 2 months long. And you want to reach as many people as possible, because in general, school board elections in New York State have an extremely low turnout. They have their own election day, which is separate from any other election. And mm-hmm. in many places like Saratoga Springs, you're not going to your normal polling site. So it really is a get out the vote type situation. And I said, I don't need to spend my time explaining DSA. I need to spend my time explaining to people why they need to show up and vote. That said, my first election was entirely run by Saratoga DSA, which was a branch of the Capital District DSA. So we did it. We, as a group, figured out what needed to be done. We ran social media. We knocked on many doors, over 3,000 doors. We didn't have access to some of the campaigning tools that a lot of, you know, partisan elections have. And so we, two members, created one for us on Google. We just made it work and we ran. When I decided to run, I was relatively unknown here. I'm not from Saratoga. I didn't have connections. I was a person who worked from home, like with a school district, but from my house, and had a baby. At that time, a three-year-old. And I just wasn't very connected, but I knocked on so many doors. I talked to so many people, and I ended up getting third place in an election where the top three vote getters win. When I ran the second time, it was in a very different position. 3 years later, a lot of people knew me. I had, been very vocal. I go to a lot of city council meetings and I talk about my, you know, what I want to see happen here in my community. I also have been a pretty big target of some of the local right-wing sites. And so a lot of people knew me from that as well. And with that, again, I ran with so much help from DSA, but we did think that me having like an explicit endorsement wasn't going to benefit my campaign. And not because of DSA itself, but rather because the only endorsements that really matter in Saratoga Springs in a school board election are the teachers and the CSEA. Having another endorsement, which people get endorsements from other organizations too, I don't think they make a difference. And so this idea of going through the process of getting an endorsement when you're already doing so many other things kind of feels like, well, I could go through this to get this endorsement. I don't know if it's going to make a difference. Or in that same amount of time, I could knock on 45 doors and talk to, you know, 18 people and mm-hmm. explain to those people why they need to come vote. And that's much, much more impactful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, knocking on doors and just like talking to the community is, in my opinion, the most surefire way to win an election.
Like, absolutely.
Knocking those doors and getting out there. For sure.
Everything else secondary. Yep.
Yeah.
So you kind of alluded to this earlier. What are the particular consequences that you've experienced being an open socialist on a school board?
So I would say it's really
rather than a crypto socialist.
I would say it's really hard for me to separate out the, I guess, consequences, so to speak, of being a socialist and then also just being a person of color. So I'm the only person of color on the Saratoga Springs School Board. This is a majority white community, a majority white school district, both in terms of the students and the workers. Mm-hmm. And I'm the only, again, person of color on the board. And so a lot of times when, there's stuff said about me, it's really hard to separate it out because it is racism and this kind of attack on my political views, and it's all bound up together. So when I ran the first time, there was this group that was running their three candidates for the board, and it was really difficult for me to understand why they would lie about me. So they would say things like, you know, Natalia is running and she's against the Second Amendment. And I was like, well, I'm running for the school board and I haven't said anything about the Second Amendment. So I don't know why they're saying that I have. Or they would say, you know, Natalia's running and she I don't even remember at this point, but, you know, she believes this or she believes that, or she said this or she said that. And I would say, well, I haven't said those things. And I guess regardless of what my actual beliefs are, how do these people who have never spoken to me know what my feelings are on anything? I've never spoken with them. And also I'm willing to speak to anybody. And so it was a very weird thing, that first election. Then I got elected, COVID hit, you know, partway through my first year on the board. And around that time, or maybe a little bit before, a page was formed in Saratoga Springs called Moving Saratoga Forward, where this, the person who runs it or the group that runs it would post stuff about me. And it was really very weird to see. So he would say things like, this thing is happening in Seattle. Seattle has this autonomous zone, but don't worry because Saratoga DSA is doing the exact same thing here in Saratoga Springs. They have their autonomous zone. Here's a map of where their autonomous zone is. And Natalia Laktaki is holding hostages. And of course I was in my house. Yeah. Yes. That was a real post that went up. I was in my house.
Why don't they just call you Hamas already?
They've done that too. But, you know, I was like, I'm here in my house with my child teaching on Zoom and trying to, you know, take care of my family. And they're saying that I'm holding hostages. And also there's a map where they say it is. And then people will share those things and they'll be like, is this true? And then other people will be like, yeah, my son drove past and saw it. And I was like, what, how is this? It was, you know, watching this misinformation spread in real time. And it's really bizarre. And it's also just so weird to read people say, I know that Natalia said, you know, believes this. And I'm like, well, I don't believe that. How do they know that though? Or I do believe it. And how do they know that? When I ran the second time, they really, really ramped up what I would call even hate speech about me. And so that was when I got called an anchor baby, which I will tell you, my parents are from not just two different countries, but two different continents. And so I don't know how it would be physically possible for me to be, an anchor baby, but also that's a really hateful term. It's used to harm people and to, you know, delegitimize them and also to like try to strip away their humanity. I've been called vermin, which has been, that was actually, being called vermin was one of the most impactful things that I've experienced in terms of this like hate campaign against me, because somebody posted it with a fake name and it really got to me where I was like, anybody around me could have been the person who said this. They're calling me, you know, something so hateful and terminology that's been used historically to do hate crimes and to do, you know, war crimes. And it just was really jarring to me. And it made it really difficult for me to want to leave my house and go interact with people, because it was just, well, if I go to the store, is the person behind me in line the person who wrote that about me? Does the person who wrote that about me know what I look like?
It's an exercise in stochastic terrorism too.
It is, because then also people started to email me and would, you know, email me at my school board email address being like, you're horrible, I'm gonna run you out of town. A couple times another board member actually asked me to forward him the emails that he has a job in security and so he could look into them, because it was a very concerning thing where I was like, well, I'm just doing my job. I'm a public school worker. I'm on the school board. I'm trying to serve each and every student. I'm truly there for all 6,000 students. I'm not there just for my own child or something like that. Like, I'm trying to do this good work. And I think I approach things honestly and, you know, I do my research and I read and all this, and then people are saying this about me and people believe them. And it's such a, it's a really jarring thing. And to read these hateful things about you. And one of my best friends always reminds me, they're not talking about you. They don't know you. They have this idea of you in their mind and they're talking about that idea, but that idea is not you. But it is really difficult when you read things like, you know, Laktakia, my last name, Laktakia is vermin. It's really hard.
That's not very comforting.
No. Well, it's...
You're reacting to an idea of you. It's not really you. That doesn't comfort me that much.
I mean, I get it, which is that it makes it easier to not internalize it. Mm-hmm. To say, they're not actually talking about me. They're just using my name to put it to this idea. And it doesn't make it easier to deal with that aspect of it, but rather to say like, I know that they're not, it's not me. It's not, I'm not doing something wrong. It's not you know, I'm not the horrible person that they say I am. Because it does, when you read stuff about yourself, it does start to feel like that sometimes, where you're like, am I this bad? Like, why would these people say this about me if I'm not, they don't know. Why would they say it about me?
Now,
that was Electro.
Margaret Thatcher will never know our Breaking Bad ends. You see a lot of stuff.
So let's move on to a sunnier subject.
Yeah.
So, but it's related. So you made all of these antagonisms with people, or people made antagonisms towards you. In the alternative, you must have found allies and friends, maybe even in reaction to that.
Absolutely. I actually, right now in Saratoga Springs, a really hateful and very racist mailer went out yesterday against one of my friends who's running for office. And I did feel like I knew what to say in some ways to help her process it, because, you know, it's this very particular situation and I got to see how people reacted to me and I know how that made me feel. It is difficult to read those things about yourself, and it is, people show up for you. It's humbling and it is comforting to know that there are these loud voices saying these things against you. And there's so many more voices that are saying, no, like, we're grateful that you're doing this work and, you know, we're standing with you and we support you. And can I bring you a meal? One of my actually awesome DSA friends from Albany drove me a meal, and, you know, people showed up to help me and to make me feel better. And I have this really amazing family that, you know, is supportive of me, but it did make me feel like, okay, I'm not alone. I do fairly often feel alone in Saratoga Springs, and I hate to say this, but having, you know, this like hateful vitriol said about you, it's impossible to think that you're alone when that happens, because so many people make sure that you know that they're with you.
It is, I mean, it's incredibly brave of you. Like, I don't want to say brave is not the right word, but it's something that's really daunting to consider running for an office as a socialist right now.
I'll use the word, it's ballsy.
Yeah. It's, yeah. But it definitely is.
That's a sexist term, but you know, I think it fits.
Yeah, it's really awesome to see, and like we're seeing it more and more around the country that people are like, yeah, I'm a socialist, and because like at the end of the day, all we want is just like the betterment for everybody, and it's great to see that people are, you know, coming around and supporting you and many others.
Yeah. I know that there are lots of people. Well, I should say some groups on the left. They have this political theory where they denigrate or eschew electoral politics, thinking that, and I guess I'm going to paraphrase them for the moment, that electoral politics is kind of a blind alley or something for social progress. What do you think about that, Natalia?
I will say that when I am feeling particularly down, I sometimes think that. But when I am my usual optimistic self, maybe optimism isn't the right word, but my hopeful self, I think that to actually make a better world for each and every one of us, we need people doing work in every area, and that includes electoral work. Mm-hmm. I don't think that electoral work alone will ever be the solution, but I do think that it plays a role. And so I'm strongly of the opinion that voting is important, but it's the first step, and that voting and elections change how we organize. The outcome of an election changes how we organize, but voting is never the last step. It's never, okay, we voted in this person, so our work is done. It's always, we voted in this person, so now here are the conditions that we organize under. And so I think that framed in that way, I don't know how we can just write off electoral work. I don't know how anybody on the left can just write off electoral work, just like I don't know how we could ever write off the schools or, you know, write off any area, because we all need to be doing our part, and there are people in all these different areas who can do their part to make the world better.
The system, I think we can all see, is broken, but it's still the system we live under. And as long as we're living under it, we have to participate in that and try to make change everywhere that we can. And that very much includes politics, especially local politics, which is why it's so incredible to see yourself and more socialists coming out and running for these small seats, like community seats, school boards, etc. Because that's where, you know, you're going to see the change that impacts you directly and impacts your neighbors and your community.
Yeah. On a related note, earlier in the show, we talked about the UAW's successful strike.
Yep.
I mean, with a change in the law about how people can organize, it would have been much easier for, let's say, for the Amazon workers to organize.
Yeah.
And win a contract for everybody who's not organized. And that's part of electoral politics work, of holding our elected officials' feet to the fire to say, give us what you promised.
Absolutely. And I think that's important also when it comes to school boards, because we're the ones who are providing oversight for the district, and we're the last eyes on like a teacher's contract, mm-hmm. or a CSEA contract. And in New York State, public workers are very limited in what they can do to get what they deserve through collective bargaining. And so the teachers in a district might say, we don't have a fair contract, but they can't just strike. Mm-hmm. And so I do think that being on this governing board for a public entity is really important in terms of protecting the workers to the best of your ability. I mean, a school board, at the end of the day, any individual person on the board doesn't have power. We only have power as a majority. But still, the more people that you have who care about the working class struggle, the better the outcomes are for the actual working members of that, you know, of that unit.
You're here.
You make complete sense to me.
Yeah, I would love to just chat a little bit, because I never have run for anything, but I have like some limited experience running a campaign, and did just a lot of like on the boots on the ground stuff during the 2016 and 2020 elections, mm-hmm. For Bernie for president. And, you know, we won the Sarah Hanna race, which I was involved in, which was running for assembly in District 103 down in the Mid-Hudson Valley. And I just would love to hear more about like more of the kind of nitty gritty of your running. Like, I remember seeing in the DSA Slack button making and like, you know, like letter writing and stuff like that. And I just would love to pick your brain about how you ran your campaigns and what do you think was most successful move for anybody who is considering, you know, maybe I should run for school board or something.
I guess there are two things that I try to keep in mind that I think are really, really helpful. The first one is that to win an election, you have to get the most votes. And so actually, there's more than two things. So one thing is that to win an election, you just have to get the most votes. So your job while campaigning is not to convert every single person. And so if somebody says, you're not the right candidate for me, you can say, hey, thanks for having a candidate. And you can just move on, because it's not a type of situation where every single person has to like you or every single person has to vote for you. So that was really a helpful framing for me. The very, very first day that I canvassed in 2019, I went with two of my friends, both TSA members. We went to the neighborhood across the street from mine. And we knocked on a door where a guy was really, really mean to me and basically told us to leave and was like, I don't have any respect for you or your profession. Like, get off my lawn. And when we left, my friend was like, oh, well. And I was like, but that guy's not going to vote for me. And he was like, so what? Lots of other people will. Let's keep going. And it was helpful for me to frame it that way, because I was able to say, if somebody doesn't vote for me, that's fine. My goal is to get as many people to the polls as possible and to want, you know, enough people to vote for me that I get third place. So that was one thing. The next thing was just that it's always campaign season. It's never not campaign season. So you are always getting, or always election season, I guess. So you are always getting mailers about people, and you're always getting contact about this election or that election, and vote, 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 vote. And it's really exhausting. And so, and also things start to blend together. So we tried to find things that were really joyful and different to focus on. So my friend, a DSA member, wrote a song for me the first time. And then we shot a music video, because we were like, why not? I'm running for school board. Like, why not make it fun and exciting? And when I ran the second time...
You're here.
Thank you. And when I ran the second time, I asked... The election date is different every year, so we couldn't just use the same song. So I asked a friend of mine who's a recording artist in LA to re-record it for me. And I asked another friend to shoot a new video. And like, let's just make it fun and joyful. It's for kids. When I ran the first time, I used just blue and white on my campaign materials because those are the school colors. The second time, I was like, I love rainbow and I want my stuff to be colorful and fun and represent me. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to show people who I am. I think sometimes people are rightfully suspicious of politicians for hiding who they are and not being honest. And I'm like, I'm going to be honest with you and I'm going to tell you who I am. And I think I'm a joyful person and I want to show that. And it's interesting to me to go back to what we were talking about earlier when people are like, she's acting happy and fun, but she's secretly evil. I'm like, I'm not. I'm being honest with people. Another thing that really helped me was a friend of mine told me, you know, there's really four categories of communication that's happening that you need to worry about. There's what you say about yourself. There's what you say about the other side. There's what the other side says about you. And there's what the other side says about themselves. You have no control about what the other side says. So, you know, that's not for you to worry about. You only have control about what you say. So make sure that you're talking about yourself. When you're talking about the other side, more people are learning about the other side. But when you're talking about you, people learn about you. So I have tried very, very hard to only talk about myself and to tell people who I am. And in fact, when I ran the first time, the only time I commented about any other candidate was when the newspaper called me and they were like, you know, it feels like it's a culture war. And I was like, yeah, it does feel like it's a culture war, but I'm running for school board. I'm not fighting in a war. I'm running for school board. And that was really all that I said about anybody else because I was running for me. So I think that also there's just this lack of human connection. So every time that I check the mail at this point, you know, where it's November 3rd right now, but you know, this is airing on election day. I feel like everybody has gotten, I don't know, 50 mailers. But one thing that we did was we said, we're going to write postcards. We're going to hand write postcards. And so I had my little friend who she's 9 years old now, but at the time was, I guess, 4. I had her draw me a picture and it was this rainbow zebra and it was so cute. And she wrote vote for Natalia and her mom told her each letter to write. And we printed a bunch of them at a union printer and we wrote messages to people on the back and we mailed them and we mailed 2000 postcards to people in the community. So they could get a flashy mailer, you know, that was printed and, you know, has all these beautiful photographs and it's glossy. And they also got a real postcard from one of their neighbors saying, hey, vote for Natalia and vote for, you know, the other two people that I was supporting. Mm-hmm. And I think that that makes a big difference. There's a reminder that politics is about people and we're real people who are running. I'm not a politician who's like a mystery secret person. I'm a real person who lives in your community, who works with kids and who wants to serve the kids of our district. And I think that that made a big difference too. It's just having a human element.
Totally. And I think running for school board as somebody who's like putting care first is really like reaching the baser instincts of parents because like they only want what's best for their children, you know? And one thing you mentioned is talking to mean people at the doors. That's what I think is so special about the DSA is like, I remember having conversations with people and some of them just sucked. But some of them were like really cool. And then there was a lot of in between, but when you're running, like from the POV of a socialist, it's just like, there's so much ground that we all agree on. It's not left or right. You know, it's left, but it's caring about like the people and the working class. And I think that's something that like, once you kind of take away a lot of buzzwords, people can get behind, at least in conversations, like at the doors and with people, which I think is just so important.
Yeah, I think a lot of times people want to find parallels too. And really the schools are not parallel to anything. I don't really think you can find a good parallel for the schools. And so, you know, people were running in 2019 talking about how we could run the schools like a business. And that was actually a big thing I talked about with people where I was like, well, so, but a business is creating goods. We're talking about educating children. In a business, if you get in a shipment of parts and they're bad, you can throw them away or you can send them back. But with children, children are human beings and they all come with this, you know, whole life and all these things that are impacting them. And, you know, their ability to access their education isn't based on whether or not they're, you know, good or bad or missing a part or, I don't know, was hurt in manufacturing. They're people. And so I think that running for the schools, running for the school board as a socialist is really, it's just so in line with our views because it is really about the people. And when you meet somebody at the door who's mean to you, it's really easy to be like, yeah, under this system, why wouldn't they be angry? Like, why wouldn't they feel disenfranchised? Why wouldn't they not trust me? Why wouldn't they, you know, be potentially tricked or whatever? You know, there's a lot of things. And I think that joining DSA made it easier for me to really understand why people are coming to those conclusions and why I might be able to say, you know, that person didn't vote for me that year and maybe they'll never vote for me. But I bet that if we sat down and had a conversation, we have a lot of things in common. And they're not going to vote for me. Oh, well, I'm going to move on. One thing.
So we had to cut that a bit short and edit quite a bit out, sadly, due to time. But, oh, my God, she's so brilliant. What a wonderful interview. That is all the time we have for this episode. Tune in at 7 on the next first Tuesday, December 5th. It's the holiday season. And the virgin birth being the reason for the season, the subject of that show. Oh, she's so brilliant. Sorry, guys, for that little technical difficulty again. Bill and I are clearly not tech professionals. We had to cut that short and edit quite a bit out for time, sadly, but what a wonderful conversation with Natalia. That is all the time we have for this episode. Tune in at 7 on the next first Tuesday, December 5th. Since it's the holiday season and the virgin birth being the reason for the Christmas season, the subject of that show will be abortion.
If you're interested in joining DSA, you may join at dsausa.org, where you'll find many levels of membership to comport with your finances, or you may find out more at capitaldistrictdsa.org.
An important dimension about organizations seeking social change, there are two types, one that relies upon members' dues and the others that rely upon donations. The DSA is the former, the dues-reliant type. It doesn't spend its time hustling for donations and sucking up to any donors, but rather strictly depends upon winning people to its ranks with ideas.
So let's move on to a Sunday.
Guitar!